ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Shows you slept through. Time's up. I'm sorry I kept you thinking of this. You keep repeating your miss. The rhyme from the microphone solo with. So you sit by the radio and on the dial soon. As you hear it, pump up the volume. Dance with the speaker till you hear it blow. Then plug in a headphone, cause here it go. It's a full letter word when it's heard to control your body to dance. So dot text the tempo like a red alert. Reach your reflex and let it work. When this is playing, you can't get stuck with the steps. So can say, and I'ma still come up with a gift to be swift. Follow the leader, the rhyme will go deaf with the record that was mixed a long time ago. It could be done, but only I could do it. For those that can dance and clap your hands to it. I start to think, and then I sink into the paper like I was ink. When I'm writing, I'm trapped in between the line. I escape when I finish the rhyme. I got soul, soul.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 177 of the report. And right now, we're rocking out to some old school Eric B. and Rakim, man. I know you guys saw off of the, which one was that? Was it the Paid in Full album? Yeah, we're going to rock back to that. So let me get back into this, and then we're going to get back into the show. But we got to rock out to this one, man. Hold on.
Grab the mic like I'm on Soul Train, but I wait, cause I master this. Let the others go first so the brothers don't miss. Eric B. break the sticks.
You got it!
Rakim will begin when you make the mix. I'll experiment like a scientist. You wanna rhyme? You gotta sign my list. Cause I'm a manifest and bless the mic I'll hold. You want it next? Then you gotta have soul. Cause if you ain't got it, I'ma make an encore. Take the mic, make the people respond for the awe. Cause that's the way it'll have to be. If you want to get on after me, think about it. Wait, erase your rhyme. Forget
yes, indeed, man. We are back on the motherfucking mic. It has been a while. This is the last time I talked to y'all, man. It's been a self-imposed hiatus. It's like some... like, I needed a break, man. Like, and I know, like, the last time I think I talked to y'all before. Let me turn this off. Last time I talked to y'all before, man, I think I had just come off of, like, another, like, a two-week kind of a deal where I hadn't done a show and stuff like that. And honestly, man, it was just like, it was beginning to get to be a lot with, you know, everything that was going on with like work and family life and the podcast and being able to juggle all three of those things at the same time. It was starting to become a thing where it was like, yo, something was falling off and it was the podcast. And I didn't want to shortchange you guys, man. I really don't. I hate doing it. So I decided I needed to just kind of step away for a minute, get my bearings about me, try to figure out how I can make this shit fit into my life, man. Like, you know, doing the show twice a week, having responsibilities of going to work and everything, man, and making sure that, like, when my wife needs something done, like, I can try to help take care of that, or if my daughter needs something, I can take care of that, or just family first, man. Real talk. Like, at the end of the day, as much as I love y'all, family does come first. So, you know, that was the thing, man, trying to figure out exactly how I wanted to go forward with the show and get everything together, man. Real talk. So that's what I've been doing a lot of like brainstorming over the course of the last few weeks, man, as to how I wanted to proceed going forward with the Span Report, man. I still got ideas, man. This is some of the stuff I want to do as far as bringing you guys other shows outside of my voice, you know, and having other guests and whatnot on the show. And I got some stuff lined up pretty soon. But one of the few things I wanted to kind of announce today before we get started with everything is that the show will start being broadcast live on Tuesdays and Saturdays. Those will be the new days for when we do the show, partly because, you know, like football season is starting. And I know as many of you guys are saying you guys are boycotting national, the NFL. Yeah, some of y'all are going to be watching those games while I'm talking. And this will give you this will take that excuse away from you. Like Sunday and Monday night, yeah, y'all going to be watching football. But you can watch your boy on Tuesday nights. Ain't nothing popping on Tuesday nights. Ain't no Love and Hip Hop going on. Ain't no Black Ink Chicago or Black Ink popping off. Ain't no sports going on right now. Just football, man. So yeah, you can fuck with your boy on Tuesdays and Saturdays, man. Real talk. So that's when we're gonna do the shows going forward for at least, you know, this part of the season, man. Fall and winter. We'll be doing the shows on Tuesdays and Saturdays until further notice, right? Another thing that I wanted to kind of announcement, there's going to be some changes made to the spanreport.com, man. So like I've noticed I've gotten some emails from my host for my website that there's been some coding on my website that is kind of malicious, that folks, when they go to my website, that they'll get like pop-ups and they'll be redirected to some other malicious kind of website or links or whatever else. So I've got to pretty much kind of break down the spanreport.com and redo it, right? So there's going to be some changes made to the spanreport.com, and I'm going to have to redesign that whole thing all over again. I'm trying to get that done by the 7th of October to have that whole thing torn down and brought back up. Now, I'll let you know this. Because the podcast is hosted on the website, the podcast will still be available. The podcast will still be available there. We're going to kind of like do this as we move around the construction going on the spanreport.com. So I'm going to totally redesign the website. I want to make it cleaner. I want to make it a lot more user friendly, man, to where it's kind of messy right now. The way things are, it's kind of hard to find certain things. So I want to make sure that people can access the store that's coming for the Span Report, man. So there's going to be a store pretty much generated through Teespring. As you know, I've been selling t-shirts on the spanreport.com through Teespring. So you guys, it's going to be a store, and I want to make that as easily accessible as possible on the spanreport.com as I possibly can. I want you to be able to go check out other shows. I want you to be able to listen to the podcast. If you don't listen through a podcatcher, you know, you can listen through your phone on the website or whatever. You can do a whole lot of different things, man. So I really do want to make the spanreport.com a much more easier place to go when you want your Span Report information, man. So I'm definitely going to work on doing that as well. And another thing that I wanted to announce, man, I'm going to be making an appearance at the National Podcast Power Conference. I believe that's how it goes. Yeah, Podcast Power Conference. And that's going to be on September 23rd. So this coming Saturday, I'll be in what's the name of this town? Perrysburg, Ohio. So I'll be in Perrysburg, Ohio at the Fat Fish Blue in Perrysburg, Ohio for the National Podcast Power Conference. And we're going to be talking some podcasting, man. It's going to be a lot of podcasters from the Midwest. So they're going to be, I'm going to be talking about, you know, podcasting solo. Pretty much, like, and everything that kind of goes into that, and hopefully, you know, I can meet up with some other podcasters that I'm not familiar with, and they can get, you know, in touch with me, and, you know, we can network and maybe, you know, bring some more interesting voices over here to the Span Report, and we can like kind of expand those audiences that way as well, man. So yeah, that's going on. Tickets are on sale right now at www.nationalpodcastpower.com. so you can go there, get your tickets. They're still available there, and you can also attend this conference as well, man. Real talk. So I wanted to get those announcements out of the way, let you guys know what's been going on over the last couple of weeks with the Span Report and with me, and why you haven't gotten the show and why I haven't been on the mic, man. There's been a lot going on. Now, of course, before we get into the rest of the show, man, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages, and of course, I'll play them on the show, respond to you right here on the show. And if you're watching the show live, you can actually call into the show live as we're doing the show. So go ahead and make that phone call to area code 313-288-0485, all right? Also, you can hit me up on the email. My email is feedback@thespanreport.com. So go ahead and send those emails. Of course, I'll read those emails here and respond to you live here on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and do that. Also, man, go ahead and try to get into the Span Report Facebook group, right? So for those of you who listen to the Span Report podcast and you fuck with us over here and you want to get in amongst some other Span Report listeners, man, go to the Span Report, #TSRP, the fam on Facebook. look up that group and send in your application, or not even an application, just request to be joined into that group, and I'll go ahead and add you as we go along, man. Real talk. And for all of your Spam Report needs, of course, you can go to the spamreport.com. But of course, like I said, there's going to be some changes made to the website pretty soon. So yeah, be on the lookout for that, man. Real talk. Real talk. Now, it has been probably like, I want to say about three weeks since the last time I talked to you guys, man. So it's been a lot of things going on in the news, man. A lot of things that I haven't had a chance to talk about that I wanted to talk about. And I'm going to kind of talk about some of that stuff, but I'm not going to get to everything, man. It's just like, it's way too much shit, right? But one of the things I did want to talk about was the fact that, yo, your man, not Kevin Hart, although I could talk about that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about that come Saturday show, because that there's some plot twist going on with that I think is very interesting how people are responding to it with the additional information that is coming out about the extortion attempt that's going on with Kevin Hart. But there was this one thing I kind of wanted to talk about, man, and it was the fact that Mike Epps has finally got his divorce settled. And I'll be goddamn, you can tell I'm rusty. You can tell I'm rusty. I didn't even have this shit turned on. All right. So Mike Epps has gotten a divorce settlement with his now ex-wife, right? So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of TMZ.com. As a matter of fact, let's cue this up right. We got to do this right.
If you're tied up, you better stay tied up, because it's cheaper to keep her.
Gotta do it right, man.
It's cheaper to keep her.
So check this out.
It's cheaper to keep her.
Mike Epps just got divorced from his wife for 12 years, right? 12 years he's been married to this woman. And he's coming off a nice chunk of change. Now, one of the things I think is very interesting, man, I don't think a lot of us knew how much Mike Epps was, like, really kind of stacking them chips, man. Like, he's, like, you think about all the movies that Mike Epps has been in. Like, you think about the Friday movies, and you think about All About the Benjamins. But then you also think about the fact that he's been on a show on Starz, Survivor's Remorse. I think he was in a Road Trip movie. Like, Mike Epps has been out there, like, he's out here touring, doing comedy shows. I've seen Mike Epps live in concert here in Detroit with Kim, the R&B singer Kim. So yeah, man, like, Mike Epps is out here, he's stacking that bread. So when it came to his divorce settlement, Mike Epps walked away. This is what he walked away with. He said he got, he walks away with 10 properties, right? 10 properties in Indiana. He gets to keep a 2016 Mercedes, a 2015 Jeep Cherokee, a 1979 Cadillac, and a 2011 Suzuki Chopper, right? Now, this is what he has to give to his wife. Or his now ex-wife. He pays his ex-wife, Michelle, $25,000 a month in spousal support for a total of 6.5 years. So he's coming off $25,000 a month, right? He also has to pay another $15,000 a month in support for their two kids, right? Another thing that he has to do is, oh, he also has to put the bill for their private schools, because he's, you know, rich kids, right? Also, he has to split royalties with his ex-wife from the numerous movie roles he's had. Like, he was in Hangover, he was in Hancock, he was in Girl Trip. I ain't seen Girl Trip yet. I didn't know he was in that shit. But Girl Trip has made a lot of motherfucking money this year, so he's going to be paying royalties to his ex-wife for that. His wife walks away with a 2014 Bentley, a 2013 Mercedes, a 2015 Toyota Prius, and a 2013 Land Rover. And the couple will sell their home in Encino, I think it's in California, Encino, California, and they'll split the profits from that. And they are also agreed to joint custody and are in the process of working out a physical custody agreement. And I'm going to tell you this, man. I read just the list of cars alone. I'm like, man, you can only drive one at a time, man. But he had to give up. Let's see, how many cars is that? One, two, three. He gave up 4 rides, man. And he's got to sell the house, and he's got to give her $25,000. Now, I'll say this, man. A lot of guys get up in arms about how much they have to give up in child support, how much they have to give up in spousal support, and all of these things, man. But understand this, man. Like, your kids have to live up to a standard that you are also living up to as well, right? And so if you're not going to be the custodial parent, then it isn't your kids should not have to suffer financially because you and their mama didn't work out. And I know a lot of dudes walk around, and, you know, they talk about, man, these chicks are having these babies. It's a hustle. You know, they don't have to do, like, why should I have to pay this and everything else? It's like, hey, man, this is the responsibility that you sign up for when you get married, when you have children. These are the things that you're going to have to do. And this isn't something that you didn't know prior to your marriage, prior to having a baby with anybody. You know, child support is a thing that could come up should you separate from their mother. You know, child support is a thing that should come up if you're not married to their mother and they don't, then the kids don't live in the home with you. You know, alimony is a thing that could come up should you have to, you know, get a separation. Now, I get it. Everybody doesn't have to work. You know, every relationship is not going to work. No one goes into a marriage, or most sane people don't go into a marriage where they feel like they're going to like get a divorce and this is what I'm going to have to give up. But yo, at the end of the day, this is the cost of doing business, so to speak, right? This is what goes with that. And you know this going in beforehand. So yeah, man, as my granddaddy saying, it's cheaper to keep her. Some of y'all maybe, you know, sometimes the grass ain't always greener on the other side. I think sometimes, you know, some of us get caught up in thinking that the grass is greener on the other side and we find out like it ain't. It ain't. And we probably would have been better off staying at home, and we probably would have been better off trying to make it work with those who have been with us for as long as they've been with us. You know, sometimes, you know, like, what's that? Like, you know, some people have come up with you over the years, man. And, you know, once you made it, sometimes you lose sight of all the people who helped you along the way. And you, some people get caught up in thinking that they did that shit by themselves, when really you had a long support system. And after a while you start shitting on folks. And, you know, Mike Epps got kind of caught out here on the low, like, you know, trying to solicit somebody on Twitter, and his wife found out. And so, yeah, man, it's a thing, man. It's a whole thing. So Mike Epps got to come off that guap for his ex-wife, man, when it comes to that divorce, man. So, yeah, that was going on, man. And I didn't get a chance to talk about that shit when it was really popping. So I wanted to talk about it, right? So another thing, man, we haven't done this in a long time. We haven't done this in quite some time, man. But another thing that kind of happened that I think y'all really need to be made aware of, this, because this is some new technology that's coming up, and I think y'all need a bit of a warning. Bit of a warning for what this really could do to you. So I came across this really wild story. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put this in the, where's my damn music? I can't find my music. There it is.
Yeah, baby. It's sexy time with Mr. Spain.
Sexy time with Mrs. Spam. We came across this story, man, and I think it was pretty fucking wild, and it does have something to do with sex, so I need you guys to really pay attention to what I'm saying right now. There was a story that came out that says your future sex robot could be hacked and programmed to murder you. All right, man, so this story, it says... It's the year 2097, a year enjoying the 84th season of House of Cards on your Wi-Fi-enabled neural implant when your significant other walks into the room. Sure, she isn't human, but sure, she sure looks like it. And she has a look in her eye that tells you that she wants to get a little freaky. You float on the bedroom on your hoverboard, and you're beginning to disrobe when, boom, she strangles you to death with her cold robot hands. Your sex robot was hacked, and now you're dead. Welcome to the future. There's been a lot of talk recently about the dangers of AI, with folks like Elon Musk sounding the alarm and suggesting the very real possibility that we may be on the brink of engineering our own demise. Cybersecurity guru Dr. Nick Patterson of Deakin University in Australia has now jumped into the conversation, warning that it isn't just artificially intelligent military systems or infrastructure that could pose a threat, but sex robots as well. Speaking with the Daily Star, Patterson notes that the potential for hackers to target robots designed for intimacy could put users at risk. Hackers can hack into a robot or a robotic device and have full control of the connections, arms, legs, and other attached tools, like, in some cases, knives or wielding devices, Peterson says. Often, these robots can be upwards of 200 pounds and very strong. Once a robot is hacked, the hacker has full control and can issue instructions to the robot. The last thing you want is for a hacker to have control over one of these robots. Once they're hacked, they could absolutely be used to perform physical actions for the advantageous scenario or cause damage. Now, you know what's interesting about this is, like, nobody wants to be the first motherfucker to die by a sex robot, right? Imagine, like, it almost reminds me of, like, the Dave Chappelle skit where you're talking about, like, a guy who died like a bitch, and he was crying and he shit himself and all these other things. Like, nobody wants to be known as the first dude who died from, like, 50-degree burns from having his dick lodged into a sex robot. Like, nobody wants to have that happen. Nobody wants to be that guy. And interestingly enough, man, we're seeing more advances into these, like, these sex robots, man, where, like, they're making them more human-looking. They're doing, you know, they're making them, like fleshlights and shit with like warming sensors and like all this lubricant that can be warmed up and like you can boil some shit. Like all sorts of stuff is going on with the inner workings of these robots and these sex toys and stuff, man. So like the idea that someone can hack your sex robot is crazy. Now it also makes me think about this, man. Like say for instance, like you know, if you and your wife or you and your husband or your significant other, whomever they may be, you guys are like not necessarily seeing eye to eye, and they find out you got like this sex robot, and then they like, okay, so this is what you're doing. You don't want to come to bed, you want to go downstairs in the basement and act like you watching fucking football, but you messing around with that goddamn thing. Okay, cool, I got something for you, boo-boo. I got something for you. And then they program your motherfucking sex robot to like bite your dick off or some shit. You know, it could happen. It could happen. Death by sex robot. I wonder what, like, if that is that like first degree murder. Like, what, like, is death by sex robot like assault with a deadly weapon? You know, I you know, this is one of those things, man. It's one of the strange things that you kind of think about when you start thinking about death by sex robot. And that's funny to even say death by sex robot. Like, who thinks of this shit? Right? In 2057, it might be in 2057, man, sex robots just walking around ass naked and shit. And you know, dudes, man, like, he what? Never mind. Never mind. Never mind, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. And I don't want to talk about this shit no more because it's freaking me the fuck out. But yeah, I was, that was sexy time with Mr. Span, man. Real talk. Oh man, like I said, it's been a while. We haven't done it in just a minute, so I got some catching up to do. As a matter of fact, we got some other craziness to talk about.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
Crazy. All right, so in what in blue blazes, man? We got this one crazy ass story, man. So this is one dude, right? He got arrested by the police, and he had something very valuable that he did not want to let go of. Okay, so this story here comes out of Marion County, Florida, man. It says Marion County Sheriff's Office says that in the early hours of Saturday, August 26th, a deputy conducted a traffic stop in the area of East Highway 40 and Baseline Road for speeding. Upon making contact with the driver, identified as 26-year-old Patreon Stokes, the deputy reportedly smelled marijuana coming from inside the vehicle. Stokes also had a 7-month-old child in the front passenger seat. Come on, bruh. Really? It says, after searching the vehicle, the deputy said that he found 197 grams of methamphetamine, rock cocaine, and 4 grams of heroin. A scale was also found in the vehicle. Stokes had marijuana and a large amount of money on himself. Stokes was arrested and taken into the Marion County Jail. Police say that Stokes's money was missing upon arrival at the jail. Stokes said that the deputies had already collected it, but the police say that that was not true. This is when the deputies noticed $20 bills falling from Stokes' buttocks area. The report says deputies collected $1,090 from his rectum. This motherfucker stuffed over $1,000 in his ass, man. In his ass. I got to say, that's creative. I'm wondering, like, how in the fuck he managed to do that while he was in police custody? Like, how did he get the money back from them? Because apparently they knew he had a large amount of cash on him. Like, did he stuff them before they took him out of the car or what? Like, he knew he was going down. He knew he had the drugs in the car. He knew he had the scale in the car. He knew he had the money in the car. And it was all like, you know, like he checked all the marks for distribution, right? So he's knowing he's going to jail. He's like, hey, but I'm gonna need this bread though. So he stuffs it in his ass. This is one of the reasons why you'll probably never see me put any motherfucking cash in my mouth, man. Money is dirty, period, right? But yeah, you never see me put a dollar bill, like, you know, counting money or something. And you put, like, you see people put that shit on it in their mouth or whatever. Nah, fuck that. Nah. This dude put $1,090 in his ass to hide it from the police, right? Says Stokes was arrested and charged with smuggling contraband into a detention facility, trafficking methamphetamine, trafficking heroin, possession of cocaine with the intent to sell, manufacture or deliver, possession of marijuana, and possession of drug equipment. So yeah, man. Yeah. What in blue blazes was the fuck going on there? Dude stuck $1,000 in his ass, man. Real talk. Real motherfucking talk. So yeah, man, that's going on. That's going on. Now, I know, like, I named the show today, The Phone Wars, right? And one of the reasons why I named the show The Phone Wars is because, of course, this is around the time of the year where, like, some of your larger flagship cell phones are being announced and are being released, right? And so, cell phones are kind of like a really big hobby of mine. Like, I really do love the technology that kind of goes into cell phones. I'm kind of a gadget dude, man. Like, I got the Google Home sitting right here. You know, I do tablets and, like, I had PDAs coming up, man. Like, you know, pocket PCs or, like, I'm into this kind of shit. Like, consumer technology is, like, I love this shit. Like, if it's some electronic gizmo, I'm all about it. I want to get a Roomba. My wife won't let me. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to, like, tell Google to like to vacuum the living room and it just do the shit. Like, I'm all about the AI. I'm all about the voice activated technology. Like, hey man, go do that for me so I ain't got to worry about it. Or I'll tell the Xbox to turn on and I'll tell it what channel I want to watch and it just turns the channel for me. Like, I'm lazy like that, right? So the iPhone has been released and the new Note 8 has come out, right? Now I got a Note 8. And I got the Note 8 because I didn't want to give up my Note 7 last year. And it was like, yo, I'm waiting for that Note 8 because every phone I've had since that Note 7 last year, honestly, I felt like was a downgrade, right? I had two Note 7s last year. I had the Galaxy S7 Edge as the replacement when they made me turn in the other Note 7. I got a OnePlus 3T. I've had the LG G6. What else? I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's all the phones I've had since last year, right? So I'm kind of into this whole thing when it comes to cell phones, right? And so one of the things about when the iPhone comes out, because I got an iPhone 2 for work, right? But one of the things when the iPhone comes out is, you know, there's a lot of chatter about the iPhone, both from people who use Android phones and from people who use iPhones, right? And I call it the phone wars because here's the thing. I'm not a real big fan of the iPhone, right? And I talk a lot about this. I talk a lot about, especially on social media. Like, I talk about this shit all the time, man. And a lot of it is, like, it's fun and games. It's tongue-in-cheek. A lot of it, you know. But some of it is kind of, like, rooted in some truth, too, right? So the iPhone X came out, or the iPhone 10, and it came out and they announced it, and there was a lot of the newer stuff with the iPhone 10, a lot of Android users will tell you, yeah, we've had this for a long time, right? And a lot of Android users get annoyed with iPhone users. One, because y'all are some smug motherfuckers. Now, trust and believe, man, I got love for some of y'all, man, because, like, honestly, most of y'all are listening to me on an Apple device right now. I see the demo and the demographics as to how the podcast gets distributed and how you guys are listening and stuff like that. Most of the people who listen to the Span Report podcast are listening on an Apple device, and I got love for y'all. I appreciate y'all. I really do. But it's a lot of y'all. It's a lot of people who use Apple products who are some smug motherfuckers. And y'all have no reason to be. And and that be the thing, right? So here's the thing. So one of the new features on the new iPhone is the near bezel-less display, right? Like, they pretty much put a 5.8-inch AMOLED screen. OLED screen, not AMOLED. They put a 5.8-inch OLED screen in a smaller body than they have for the iPhone 7 Plus, right? So they have a bigger screen, smaller phone. And a lot of Android manufacturers have already been doing this. You've seen this with the with a lot of Samsung phones. The Essential phone pretty much has the damn near same layout as the iPhone X has now, and it's already out. You've got the LG G6 and the LG V10. I'm sorry, the V30. You've got I forget the name of this company, but it's called the Mi Mix 6. There's a lot of different companies who've gone the way of making smaller phones with bigger screens on and smaller bezels, right? But Apple announces that they're putting smaller bezels on the phone, and it's the greatest shit on earth, right? Another thing, man, Face ID. Apple brings out Face ID. This is another feature that has been on Android phones for about 5 or 6 years, right? Now, the way they implement it is a little bit different, as it operates much like how the Kinect on the Xbox One operates, where how it identifies you, right? Where it maps your face and it is able to identify you. It has to be really fucking good in order for them to like say, you know what, we're gonna scrap Touch ID, we're gonna get rid of the fingerprint scanner altogether. The only way you can unlock this phone apparently is through Face ID. It's better be fucking rock solid for them and it's gotta be in order for them to move the units and to justify getting rid of Face ID. Touch ID, right? But this is one of those things where, like, it's a feature that has been available on Android for a long time, and people just kind of looked at it as if it was a gimmick. And here is Apple, you know, like, saying, okay, well, here we are, we're doing it now, and it's the greatest shit ever. Another thing, wireless charging. Wireless charging is another piece of technology that, like, Android manufacturers have been implementing into their phones for years now. Like, 3 to 4 years, as a matter of fact. Where you just set your phone down on a pad, and boom, it's charging. You don't necessarily have to plug it up. You don't have to look for the cord. You don't have to look for to make sure that it's going to fit your iPhone or fit your Android phone. They've gone from USB to USB-C ports, all this different stuff, right? So you can just set the damn phone down and start charging. Apple has finally got on this bandwagon. And folks, you know, like, oh man, they got wireless charging. It's new to Apple. It's not new to everybody else, right? And another thing too is, like I said, the OLED screens. The Apple has finally gotten rid of the LCD screens. They're going to OLED screens. These are screens that have been on Android since damn near 2011, man. Like, it's like all of these things are kind of old hat for a lot of Android users, right? And I say this because, like a lot of people. A lot of Apple users, right? A lot of Apple users, iPhone users will say, well, shit, like, okay, so, you know, y'all been had it, so what? You know what I'm saying? So what? Like, and it's one of those things, it's like cultural appropriation, right? It's like when, say, for instance, you know, black women have, you know, been known to have large, you know, asses or whatever, and like we embrace it in the community, we embrace it in our culture and everything, and it was shunned by, you know, the larger community, you know, like by white folks and by all these other people, and then all of a sudden, like, white people start getting on this and acting as if they discovered it and then they made it great. That's kind of how, like, Android nerds feel about Apple. Is that, like, yo, we've been on this shit, we've been doing this shit all this time, and here you motherfuckers come, and y'all act like y'all made this shit, y'all act like y'all made this shit great, and it's not really what that is. And that's where, like, a lot of the especially, like, phone nerds, and I'm a phone nerd, I admit it, I really am, like, a lot of people don't really, like, your average consumer doesn't give a fuck about any of this stuff. A lot of people just like, yo, man, does it have apps on it? Can I take pictures with it? Well, I'm cool then. Like, they don't get, like, but these, like, for phone nerds, yo, man, this shit matters to us, right? Like, yo, man, like, you're not gonna act like you created this shit and made it better. And, like, one of the things I said, like, there's a lot of people when it comes to Apple. Apple has made themselves a sort of brand where, you know, it's almost like a fashion accessory, right? Like, you know, oh, I have the Apple iPhone. I have the iPhone X. You know, it becomes much more than a phone. It becomes like a status symbol, so to speak, right? And so we even go into the status symbol part of it when you think about how much those phones cost. And I'm going to get into a little bit of that in a minute. But, like, you start thinking about it as a status symbol. And so when Apple finally decides to get on the bandwagon when it comes to, say, for instance, a near bezel-less screen, it's like, oh, my God, I'm nearly just holding screens. Like, you could have been doing this 2 years ago, my G. Like, like, you could have been doing this 2 years ago. You didn't have to wait for Apple to do it, right? Same thing with wireless charging. Another thing, man, like, Apple tends to charge a premium for this old shit. Right? And that just is what it is. Like, when you think about the fact that wireless charging has been available for so long, and now Apple is making it available, but they're gonna charge you a premium for it. Like, even now they're talking about they're gonna come out with their own version of the wireless charging pad, and chances are it's gonna cost you at least $100 for a wireless charging pad, when you can find wireless charging pads on Amazon right now for about $30. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that thing where, like, they're charging you a premium for this old shit that everybody's doing. And it becomes one of those things like, why would I pay that much money for that when it's doing essentially the exact same fucking thing that this thing over here is doing, other than to just say that this is Apple, right? So you got that going on. And another thing too, man, like, there's this idea for some of the more pompous Apple users where they'll say that Apple weren't first to do it, but they made it better, right? You take take payments, for instance, like Apple Pay, right? Apple Pay came out, I want to say maybe two years ago. It was like maybe 4 years after Google Wallet had been a thing. And the only thing about Google Wallet worked on NFC terminals and like McDonald's. McDonald's was like one of the few places you can actually use Google Wallet. A lot of retailers didn't make NFC terminals available to make Google Wallet more ubiquitous in the retail space. Apple jumps on it, and now a lot of these retailers start jumping on Apple Pay and making NFC terminals available so that you can pay using your phone, right? The thing about that is this was old tech, and this has been done for years. And not only that, Apple Pay became ubiquitous with mobile payments, right? People are like, well, and I get this even now. Me and my wife, we were at Michael Kors for a birthday. We were buying some stuff at Michael Kors, and like I was using my watch to pay for something, right? And the first thing the young lady behind the counter told me is like, oh, we don't have Apple Pay. Apple Pay doesn't work here. Fortunately for me, I wasn't using Apple Pay. I was using Samsung Pay, which works at pretty much every credit card reader, right? And they were surprised when it worked. They had no idea that this stuff worked outside of Apple Pay. Like, they had no concept of what mobile payments were outside of Apple Pay. And all of this stuff has been available long before Apple even got into the game. So for a lot of Android nerds like myself, it's like, yo, man, like, y'all are the ones like kind of on the back burner with this. A lot of this stuff y'all just now is new to y'all. This is old hat for us. And so there's that thing, and there's a bit of jealousy in it too. No, make no mistake about it, there's a bit of jealousy when it comes to a lot of Android fans, man. Like, they can't understand why Apple is so popular doing so much old shit and charging so much money for the old shit. Right. And again, it becomes like I said, one of those kind of like cultural appropriation things where like somebody is getting credit for making something popular that you've been doing all your life or that you've been doing for so long. And now all of a sudden these people finally hop on it and everybody's like, oh, my God, it's the greatest shit since sliced bread. It all pretty much, like, at the end of the day, it all brings up innovation. It all, more people are being exposed to this technology. I kid a lot on Facebook, man, and on Twitter when I talk about a lot of this shit. But what it really does is when Apple does finally get on some shit, more people are aware of it and it becomes more ubiquitous. Whereas, like, yeah, Android has been doing this for a long time, but because Apple is such a large space in the mobile sphere, like, yo, it has a lot of influence. And so when they finally decide to get on some shit, yeah, now it's more popular because now it's available to more people. So there's that, man. Another thing too, man, I talked a little bit about, you know, like, status symbols when it comes to like these cell phones and shit, right? So we'll talk a little bit about cell phone contracts. And I know this shit ain't sexy, right? I know this shit ain't sexy, but let me nerd out for a minute, man. So here's the thing. Like, I have a Note 8. And the Note 8 retails for about $930, right? The iPhone X is slated to cost around $1,000. I think like $999 or something like that for the iPhone X, depending on which size, memory capacity you get, whether it's 64 or 256 gigs. And one of the things that I saw, you know, when these phones were being announced, man, was, you know, that like $1,000, man, that's a lot of money for these phones, man. These motherfuckers, y'all spending $1,000 on these phones and y'all can't do this, y'all can't do that. You know, y'all priorities is all fucked up. And one of the things I want people to understand is this, like most people right now aren't going to pay anywhere close to $1,000 for either of these devices, right? I know I'm not. And I'll tell you how. Most people right now, because 2-year contracts on your carriers have pretty much been eradicated, most people are financing these phones, right? So take me, for instance, like when I got my phone, I think I had to put like $274 down with T-Mobile to, and that was with the taxes included, to pre-order the phone, right? And then on my bill, I'm going to be charged like $30 per month for the next 12 months. And I say 12 months because I'm probably not going to keep this phone longer than 12 months. When the Note 9 comes out, I'm probably going to upgrade to the Note 9. So by the time I get finished using this phone, I probably would have spent like $634. That's the $274 plus the $30 a month for 12 months, like $634 over the course of the year that I have this phone, right? That's almost a little, like about a $300 savings on the cost of that phone, right? About $300. I'm not paying the full $1,000, and I'll still get use of this phone. Now, some people will say, "Well, yeah, man, but like you don't get to keep the phone." Like, well, why would I keep it if I'm going to be using this other phone? And not only that, I mean, I got other phones that I could use if I really needed to. Same thing applies to the iPhone, right? So the iPhone costs $1,000. You're going to put some money down, you're going to finance that phone, and chances are when the next iPhone comes out, you'll probably upgrade to that one, and then you start the process all over again, right? One of the things I think people misunderstood about the cost of cell phones was that there was this $200 charge, right? A lot of folks thought that their cell phones only cost them $200. And their cell phones only cost them $200 because, you know, you looked at Sprint, you looked at T-Mobile, you looked at Verizon, you looked at AT&T, and they say, hey, you know, you can get this phone for $200 with a new line of service. And they'll advertise an iPhone or they'll advertise the newest Galaxy and they say, yo, you can get this phone for $200 with a new line of service. And a lot of folks thought that they were only paying $200 for those phones. I'll tell you right now, the iPhone, the original iPhone back in 2007 cost $600 retail without a contract. You were paying for that phone over the course of those 2 years. That's why they locked you into a 2-year contract. Your cell phone company was locking you in to recoup the cost of the rest of the cost of that phone, right? So yeah, they gave you the phone for $200 down and your service costs X amount of dollars, but over the cost of that, what was also intertwined with that was the cost of your phone. And you were paying that back over the course of 2 years. And if you decided you wanted to leave, yo, guess what they did? They were going to hit you with that early termination fee. They were going to get back their money off of the cost of their phone. Now, think about it. You think that Apple or Samsung or Motorola or HTC, any of these companies were going to give you a $600 device for $200 and just take a $400 loss on that device because they like you? Nah, you were paying for that. So what happened was unlock phones, a lot of really good unlock phones start becoming available and you can buy them on Amazon. You can buy them like straight from the manufacturers and folks started, you know, buying their devices unlocked. And what ended up happening was because people were buying these devices unlocked and bringing them to these carriers is like, yo, man, what we could end up doing. And T-Mobile started this. We can actually just start financing these phones instead of letting them buy these phones directly through the carrier. I mean, through the manufacturer, through Amazon, we can get some of this money back by, okay, we'll finance this phone for you and we'll let you put this money down and we'll let you pay this amount of money per month and you can still get this phone and then you upgrade when when your upgrade is available. And so that's what happened. Like they got rid of the 2-year contract and they started putting these phones out and you start paying the actual retail cost of these phones. So these phones never cost you $200. You've always been paying $600, $700, $800 for these phones over the course of the 2 years you were tied to that phone contract, right? Now, another thing that I think a lot of folks miss, and I think, and shout out to Chris from over at Movie Trailer Reviews, because he kind of put this into perspective that I even hadn't think I thought of. $1,000 sounds like a lot of money for a phone, right? And it really is. $1,000 is a lot of fucking money, like for anything. Like, let's not get that twisted. $1,000 is a lot of money. But when you think about all the things your cell phone has kind of replaced in your life, and you're walking around with this pretty much supercomputer in your pocket, it kind of starts making sense, right? When was the last time any of you walked around with a Polaroid? No Polaroids? Polaroids. Anybody? Okay. All right. When was the last time any of you actually had to go out and buy a video camera? No video cameras? No Polaroids? No video cameras? Hey, some of y'all may not have even bought a computer. Some of you, like the computer that you have is your phone. It's your only access to the internet. It's your only access to the internet, right? For a lot of folks. So you've got a computer, you've got a video camera, you've gotten a still camera, you've gotten a calculator, you've gotten a Twitter machine, you've gotten a Facebook machine, you've gotten something that you're able to pay bills with. I pay a lot of my bills on my phone. I do a lot of my banking on my phone. I do a lot of, I handle documents on my phone. I can write, sign documents and shit on my phone. Like, you start doing more and more of these things on these mobile devices, and yeah, the cost starts to add up. Now, whether or not they're worth $1,000 is still questionable, right? Right? The cost of some of these materials have started to go down over the course of, over the course of the years. And as they become more ubiquitous and as they become more available to people, yeah, the cost of a lot of this stuff is coming down. But you start paying for a lot of this stuff, like the premium version. Like, there's always a premium version of everything, right? And here's another thing, too. You don't have to get them. You don't have to buy a $1,000 iPhone X. You don't have to buy a $930 Note 8. You don't have to do it. It's nice to be able to. I'm glad that I'm able to, and I'm glad for anybody else who's able to, but yeah, you don't have to do it. So yeah, man, like, the cost is a lot. There's a lot of stuff that goes into these phones. And I talk about Apple with a lot of the old tech, but yeah, they put a lot of work and ingenuity and engineering into these devices to where we're walking around with fucking supercomputers like this instead of a room that they used to have in NASA. Like, this shit, like, it is what it is at this point, right? So yeah, man, I I know it's a lot. I know I just said a whole bunch of shit about a lot of stuff that a lot of people may not necessarily understand. But yeah, man, when it comes to these phones, man, with this phone war shit, I'll say this, man. Yo, enjoy the shit that you got. A lot of y'all are, a lot of folks, man, they enjoy their phones, man. It's fun to go back and forth. And I'll say this too, like, to be honest, a lot of us would probably switch our phones if it didn't cost us so much money to switch. And when I say cost us so much money, it's like, over the course of the years, you bought some apps, or you bought into the ecosystem, whether it be Android or whether it be iOS, you bought into the ecosystem. And when you decided you're going to switch to another platform, you're pretty much like walking away from all that shit you bought over the course of the years, man. Like, you might have spent hundreds of dollars on apps and hundreds of dollars in in-app purchases and stuff like that, that you're pretty much walking away from by going to another platform. So a lot of people feel like they're stuck where they are, and that's why they don't switch. And then they're like, yo, man, so fuck the other side anyway, right? So yeah, man, phone wars, man. Like, that's where, like, a lot of the vitriol from Android users come from, Apple folks. Like, some of y'all got some pompous motherfuckers over there, and y'all and y'all got, like, y'all got the old tech that y'all think is new shit, like, and y'all get teased about it all day long because Apple kind of put them, they hold themselves up like that. But yo, man, it's all fun when I do it. I hope y'all ain't mad at your boy when we talk about this stuff, because I'm going to do it again next year, right? Yeah, man. So that's what's going on. Now, let's see. We got some other shit going on, man. Some shit that is a bit more serious, so to speak, man. And I got it's one of these things, man, like, you kind of want to get away from the schism, man, like the racism and shit like that. But it's all around you, man. You can't really escape it so much, man. So interestingly enough, there are two different instances that happened over the course of the last week where, like, some white folks got caught being really motherfucking racist and then tried to say that they weren't the ones who were doing the racism. Right. So check this out. Let me see if I can pull this up here. I got two stories here. Excuse me. First story is of a Mississippi teacher. All right. So there's this Mississippi teacher who had a Facebook post, put out a racist Facebook post, and she decided to tell the world that she was hacked, that she really didn't put this post up. So let me see if I can pull this video. We're going to screen share this. Hold on just a second. Try to pull this up. I hope this doesn't start before I can do it. So let's see. Screen share.
A second grade teacher in South Panola, Mississippi, is in the hot seat tonight for a racist post on her Facebook page.
If she actually wrote it, she could be fired. Fox 13's Tom Bees was in Panola County today, where parents say they want the teacher, Cammie Roan, gone.
The post on Cammie Roan's Facebook page reads, "If blacks in this country are so offended, no one is forcing them to stay here. Why don't they pack up and move back to Africa, where they will have to work for a living? I am sure the government will pay for it. We pay for everything else." After the post got heated, another post showed up on Roan's page claiming that she had been hacked. Parent Kevin E. Anderson's son was in Roan's class. Anderson liked Roan until now.
Still don't have anything against her, you know, wish her well, but, you know, I don't feel like she should be teaching anybody's kids, you know, if she feels that way.
I reached out to Roan but never heard back. Parent Tammy Thornton tells me she saw it coming. She took her son out of Roan's class months ago and has been homeschooling him.
Because he told me that she was mean, she didn't show him no love, she didn't take time out for him.
A spokesperson for the South Panola School District tells me that Roan is on administrative leave while they conduct their investigation.
And I don't feel like she should be on administrative leave. I feel like she should be fired.
Back to Kevin E. Anderson, who says she trusted and liked Roan at first.
She came on to me, you know, as far as a good teacher. She helped me resolve the problem that my son had in her class, you know.
Reporting in Panola County, Tom Dees, Fox 13 News.
Now, according to the Panola County Teachers Code of Conduct, Roan could lose her job if officials determine she actually wrote that post. That's because school leaders believe the post is abusive and unprofessional and obviously racist.
All right. So, yeah, that happened. Wait, let me take that down. Yeah, man. So, yeah, it's interesting, man. Like, these people, they come out here, like, since Donald Trump has been elected, a lot of these folks have come out of the woodworks, man. They're real blatant with their racism. They're real, like, they're just free with it, right? They come out on social media. They say all sorts of wild, crazy shit, and they think there's no consequences that are going to come of it. And, yeah, like you know, the funny thing is, like, they always, like, it's become a thing where they'll do this racist shit and claim that they were hacked. Another instance, something similar to this, where another person who said some racist shit on social media and then claimed that they were hacked. This happened right here in Detroit, right? So let me see if I can pull this story up, man. Where is this? Where is it? Huh. Oh, here it is. All right. So this story here comes out of, I think, what was it? Oh, I got this off a Raw story. And this guy, what's his name? A Detroit business was inexplicably closed Monday after its owner used a racial slur against two fellow Lions fans who declined to stand for the national anthem. David Doptis, who owns a restaurant supply company in Pontiac, posted a photo on social media of a black woman and man sitting down as other fans take part in the Star Spangled Banner. "You want to sit down for the national anthem, Doptis wrote. "You don't like our country? Then get the fuck out." The photo was also captioned with "ignorant niggas." Stacey Graham, a Lions season ticket holder, told WXYZ-TV that she was sitting out the national anthem. She's been sitting out the national anthem since last year because she disagreed with the song's reference to killing emancipated slaves in the third verse. Everybody has an opinion, Graham told WJBK. He wishes that we would have stood, and I would have been like, okay, but to write that under our picture, no words. Doptis on Sunday denied posting the photo and racist caption, but he offered another explanation in a follow-up Facebook post before deleting his social media account. "I didn't post any pictures, any collages or anything," Doptis said. "I don't know where that even came from." He did not respond to follow-up questions for comment, and his business, Restaurant Liquidation Auctions, has been closed Monday without explanation. Graham said she hopes that the Lions cancel Doptis' Sega season ticket license or moves her to another section. we've got to build our country back together. We've got to come together, whatever they, whatever that may mean. But that's going in the opposite direction. The racial slur, that's going backwards. Now, interestingly enough, man, this dude, and kudos to the Lions, they got rid of this guy, right? He had to surrender his season tickets. He's no longer welcome at Ford Field for what happened. But ironically enough, man, he first came out and said that he was hacked, that he didn't post this, that somebody else must have gotten a hold of to his account. And then later on, he just admitted to saying the shit, right? He admitted to saying, like, yeah, I did it, you know, and now his business is closed. He's deleted all his social media accounts. Like, they don't necessarily think that there's going to be any consequences for the racism that they're out here espousing. And the interesting thing about both of these cases is that they always cloak or, like, they always, like, kind of wrap their fucking racism into patriotism, right? So your beef with African Americans, like, if they're not happy, they can leave this country. You know, we are paying for everything anyway, and they can go to Africa and they can work, like, as if African Americans, as if black folks ain't working, as if black folks ain't going to school, as if black folks ain't paying taxes. We can get the fuck out this country because we don't necessarily agree with everything that's going on in the way white folks look at it, right? Much the same thing here. This guy's mad at these people for not standing up for the national anthem, not knowing who they are, not knowing why they're not standing, probably never even bothered to ask, because he doesn't care. He doesn't have to, right? But he thinks he's being patriotic and saying and calling them ignorant niggas and all these other things. Now, his business may be shot. You know what I'm saying? It may be shot. But then and because it's Michigan and because of the climate that we are in right now, he might be all right. Especially depending, he's in Pontiac. He might be all right. Because there's going to be there's going to be a level of solidarity amongst other racist motherfuckers when it comes to protecting their own to a certain degree. So he may be okay in the end. You know, he doesn't have any season tickets anymore, but he may be all right. But both of these people in both instances use their patriotism, so to speak, to cloak their racism. They're wrapping themselves up in this goddamn American flag, and they can't understand why people aren't really feeling this whole National Anthem Pledge of Allegiance thing, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before I do, you know, like, speaking of football, you know, like, one of the things, man, over the course of the last few weeks since I was last on the mic, man, is like the boycott for the NFL, man. A lot of folks are participating in the boycott for the National Football League, man. And I get it. I do, man. I understand what... you know, what people are doing. I understand why they're doing it, man. They're doing it in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick, and he should have a job. There's no question about it that there are a lot of people in the NFL, there are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL who have no business being on the NFL team, and Colin Kaepernick isn't on a team. And Colin Kaepernick isn't playing quarterback for some of these teams. Like, he should definitely have a job in the NFL. And a lot of folks are like, yo, man, until Colin Kaepernick has a job, man, I'm not going to watch football anymore. And one of the things for me, man, is, like, I get it. And I'm not telling anybody that they should not boycott the NFL. Like, if that's how you feel, then by all means, do that. But what I will say is I am a little bit unmoved by some of the black checking that is going on for those of us who are still watching the NFL and still deciding to watch football. You know, I made a reference before the boycott even really started this year, man. I said something and I was like, yo, man, like, you know, I'll boycott when, you know, R. Kelly stops being able to sell albums and ticket sales, you know, get ticket sales, man. And folks got mad at me. Some people kind of like jumped at me like, well, you know, you damn well R. Kelly, R. Kelly supporters aren't a reasonable bunch. You know, they not trying to hear none of this shit. I'm like, well, again, the point that I was making was that here was an instance of a black man who is repeatedly victimizing young black girls, and we don't necessarily come to their aid, so to speak, in the ways in which we should, especially when here's a guy who we could pretty much shut down by not going to his concerts, by not buying his albums. We could do that. And a lot of people blame the girls for what happens to them, right? I'm not doing that with Colin Kaepernick. I love what Colin Kaepernick is standing for, but I'm also saying that, like, yo, man, there are instances where, especially concerning the NFL, I've got some real questions about some of the people who are holding this boycott up as a means of black checking others, right? So take, for instance, Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy was convicted of domestic abuse and given a job by the Dallas Cowboys after he was let go from the, I believe it was the Carolina Panthers. After he left the Carolina Panthers, he got a job with the Dallas Cowboys after he was convicted of domestic abuse. And guess what? Some of these same people who are mad about what's going on with Colin Kaepernick were cheering for Greg Hardy to get a sack in a football game, despite the fact that Greg Hardy was a convicted woman beater, right? You've got Ray Rice. Ray Rice was suspended. Oh, shit. Come on, man. Really? Ray Rice was suspended by the NFL for punching his then fiance in an elevator, right? And Ray Rice was met with cheers by a lot of Baltimore Ravens fans, some of them black folks, who said that, you know, like, hey, man, like, sometimes these women are out here provoking shit. Stephen A. Smith got in trouble for saying these women are out here provoking these dudes, knocking them beside the head, man. Like, you can't step to a dude, man. Step to a dude, man. You get dealt with like one. I saw a lot of that shit. Well, what happened with Ray Rice? None of these cats were talking about a boycott then. I'll do you one better. We're talking about a black man being aggrieved and being blackballed by the NFL. Michael Sam. Michael Sam was the SEC. Was it SEC? No, Big 12 maybe. Whatever conference that is, because he went to the University of Missouri. I'm not sure if they're in the SEC or in the Big 12. I believe it was the Big 12. But he was the defensive player of the year in his conference. The defensive player of the year in his conference. And Michael Sam was also the first openly gay NFL player. He came out before the draft, let everybody know that he was gay. He was gay, and like, you know, I think he did it like while he was in college. But Michael Sam came out and barely got drafted, and then when he did get drafted, was barely given any reps, and then when he was let go, not given another shot with it. Like, I think he bounced on two teams. I think the Rams drafted him, and I think the Cowboys may have gave him a once over. But Michael Sam was never really given a serious look as an NFL player. Michael Sam tried to go to the CFL, and it didn't work out for him in the CFL. The defensive player of the year, defensively, coming out of college, can't get a job in the NFL. It's not good enough. Everybody was like hopping on that it's football reasons, right? Like, for Michael Sam, when Michael Sam was being effectively blackballed for being gay, or being a gay football player, like, yo, everybody bought the whole, yeah, it was football reasons. Yeah, he ain't that good. That's why he ain't in the league. He ain't that good. I've argued with niggas over the fact that, yo, Michael Sam should probably be in the NFL right now. And the only reason that Michael Sam isn't in the NFL right now is because he came out as openly gay. And he made sure everybody knew, this is who I am. And everybody talked about, man, he need to keep that shit to himself, man. I don't need to know all what he doing in his bedroom and all this other shit. Like, yo, man, you assume, like, you don't need to know what a dude is doing with his wife in his bedroom either. But you don't have the same issues that you have with this guy being who he is. Michael Sam was effectively blackballed by the NFL, by the players, and a lot of dudes who were walking around talking about Colin Kaepernick and black men being aggrieved and black men not being taken seriously and black men not being given a fair shake. A lot of y'all was sitting around like, yo, man, yeah, it's football reasons why Michael Sam isn't in the NFL. The same thing that people were saying about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is asking for too much money. Colin Kaepernick isn't that good of a football player anymore. Colin Kaepernick is asking for starters money, and really he's a backup. Football reasons. He doesn't fit our scheme. a lot of the same motherfucking things are coming up for Colin Kaepernick that were the same things with like with Michael Sam. Football reasons. He doesn't fit us. We don't have space for him here. And so it was it's interesting to see how, you know, we responded to, you know, to this incident. Like, I asked a few questions. Like, yo, if Colin Kaepernick is like, what if he decides he's going to just retire this year? Like, you know what? Fuck it. It's not even worth it anymore. Are you still going to continue the boycott? Now, again, I'm not saying not to boycott. I applaud anybody who feels so convicted as to the fact that they're like, yo, man, I'm not watching this shit. I get it. But the black checking is what's funny to me. Because truth be told, I'm going to watch football because I want to watch football. That's it. Like, it's pretty much how it is for me. I'm going to watch football because I want to watch football. And God damn it, I need to mute these. I need to mute this. Hold on a second. Jesus Christ. Come on. Let's mute this whole conversation. I need the mute option like now. And I can't find it. Okay, we might get inundated with some notifications from this chat. But yeah, man, so that was the thing, man. Like, yo, we got this going on. We're like, you know, the black checking of people like, man, well, we know where you would have stood if, like, Rosa Parks was, like, you know, when they had the bus boycott in Montgomery and all this other shit. Like, yeah, there are other means of, like, supporting the movement. I might support it in other ways that might not necessarily include this particular thing. It's not that I don't support the movement. It's not that I don't support your reasons for why you're doing what you're doing. But you're not about to make me feel bad about the shit when I know you wasn't feeling bad about not supporting Michael Sam when he was effectively being blackballed for being gay. And he was also a black man. Just interesting, man, how we, you know, we pick and we choose that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I get it. Like, you know, gay, that's not our thing. That's not my thing. I'm not gay. But it's one of those things where we're like, yo, man, they came for these other people and you said nothing and now they fucking with you and now you want to cry bloody murder. Like, that's why I'm of the mindset, man. Like, yo, like, although I might not necessarily be dealing with that particular issue, I can't in good conscience stand aside and not say something while this injustice is happening. And far too many times, man, we do that because it's not fucking with us at the particular time. So, like, man, it ain't my issue. Fuck that. You know? So, yeah, man, I felt like that needed to be said, man, as far as the boycott and football, because, like I said, I haven't been on the mic for the last few weeks, man, but I really felt like I needed to say that, man, real talk. I support you guys' right to boycott. I just want y'all to support my right to, like, just enjoy the fucking game and, like, turn like and let that be what it is, man. Real talk. Now, speaking of, like, boycotts and racism and all this other stuff, Jemele Hill. So Jemele Hill, as you guys know, has been in the news a lot as of late because of some of the things that she said about Donald Trump. And one of the things that I thought was interesting about the, you know, the backlash that Jemele Hill was receiving was the fact that, one, I was waiting for the lie. Like, I was looking for, like, where did she lie? Like, what did she say that wasn't the truth? You know what I'm saying? So we're going to go ahead. Let me pull this up. Because she was, here's what she said. Where are the tweets? Let me see if I can pull up. Because I thought I had the tweets pulled up. All right. So basically, Jemele Hill was responding to some people on Twitter, and she said, Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. The height of white privilege is to be able to ignore his white supremacy because it is of no threat to you. Well, it's a threat to me. Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. He is unqualified and unfit to be president. He is not a leader, and if he were not white, he would have never been elected. Again, can anybody find the lie? Right? Can you? Is there one? Now, one of the things about racism lately, and pretty much in this whole Trump era, has been the fact that, like, the way racism, or the way racists are combating being called racist, is kind of switching up a little bit, right? So now it is almost considered a racial slur to call somebody a racist for doing racist things. Now they're offended by you calling them what they are for what they do. Racist, right? So all of a sudden you're racist for pointing out racism. And it's a way of trying to silence racism, or the calling out of racism, so that racism can continue, so that white supremacy can continue. How dare you bring light to the fact that I am a racist? You're the true racist for bringing light to the fact that I am a racist. And I'm offended that you would even say such a thing. It's an untruth, and I can't shake this racism tag off of me because of you. And it's like, no, man, you're racist because of the things that you do, not because of what I said. Your actions are what make you the racist. The things you do, the ideas that you propagate, are what makes you a racist. Not the fact that I'm pointing these things out to you to tell you why they're racist and how they affect me to make me believe that you are a racist, right? Now, one of the things about racism, man, is that, like, yo, black people really motherfucking acquainted with racism. Like, we walk around every day, we live in an existence where we're surrounded by others, people who aren't us. Right, we are submerged in a country and a consciousness and a society that does not necessarily reflect us, and so we have to navigate in this world knowing how to move around these other people. Right, we're very cognizant of this. Because it's a survival technique, man. We have to know how to walk. We have to know how to code switch, man. You ever been on the phone? Like, you ratchet as hell. Like, man, fuck these motherfuckers, man. You crazy as hell, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And then you get that phone call from a bill collector. Like, well, no, I was not aware that the bill was due at this particular moment in time. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and I'm going to take a look at my check statement. And I believe I sent that payment into you guys. I really do. But I'm going to check my can I call you back? Right? Code switching is a thing. We do this shit all the time. You get around, you know, you code switch once you go to work. You know why you code switching once you go to work? One, because it's professional, and two, because, yeah, these people aren't of my community. I'm not as comfortable with them as I am with my own people. So the colloquialisms that you would use with these folks ain't the same as the ones that you would use with the homies. Right? So we understand racism, and we understand how to move in a world with people who aren't us. We're intimately aware of what racism is. And because we are intimately aware of what racism is, because we're facing it every day, we are some of the most credible people to point out when some racism is going on. Now, a lot of white people would say, well, you guys are pointing to everything, man. Everything's fucking racist. I can't do anything. Everything's racist. This stuff wasn't racist before. Like, no, it's always been racist. You've just never had to consider it. You've never had to consider why, what this is, and how this is wrong, and how it is affecting the people around you. You've never had to consider it. And a lot of white people, not all of them, but a lot of white people are finding out that a lot of African Americans, Muslims, Latinos aren't as in love with America as they are. And we all have valid reasons as to why we're not. And it's why they have this befuddlement about them when they are confronted with the fact that, yo, black people aren't standing up for the national anthem at this football game. Or there's a child in Michigan who is yanked out of his seat because he doesn't want to stand for the national anthem. Well, why doesn't this kid want to stand for the national anthem? Why doesn't he show some respect? Why doesn't he honor the soldiers and the troops who died for his rights? Right? They have absolutely no frame of reference as to why these other people came to the conclusions that they did. As to, like, yo, man, I'm not feeling this. I'm not fucking with this. And so they're being in it. And it can be a bit of a shock when you aren't aware. Right? And this happens to a lot of us, man. Like, I'm a straight black man. You know what I'm saying? Like, there have been times where I've probably said some real fucked up shit about some, you know, about gay people. Not, and then when I was made aware of how this was affecting them. Now, I got a choice to make. Do I want to continue to perpetuate this bullshit and continue to hurt someone else while at the same time, like, yo, wanting people to take credence to my grievances? Or do I adjust my behavior and be empathetic and considerate of this other person who's dealing with this issue that I might not necessarily have to deal with? A lot of white folks haven't necessarily come to that conclusion, or haven't come to that space where they are, they haven't come to that space where they're as empathetic as they should be when it comes to issues of race. And when it's brought to their attention, a lot of them are like, a lot of them are stuck. They probably never move. Some of them may be still malleable. You may be able to, shape some of their minds and kind of educate them as to why these things they're doing is wrong and how it affects others around them. And then still there are others who are coming up and they loving this the privilege that comes with being white. You know? So Jemele Hill says what many would consider to be the truth about Donald Trump. We've had countless incidents where Donald Trump was seen coddling racists. Charlottesville being one of those instances where he talked about there being great people on both sides, right? There are no good people on the side of Nazis. There's just not. There are no good people on the sides of white supremacists. There's just not, right? To that false equivalency that a lot of races use to bring them on equal playing field with the moral majority, so to speak, or the people who are the common sense leaders, if you will. You think about the fact that there was the Muslim ban that Donald Trump tried to implement to basically single out an entire religion for the actions of a few, right? Single them out. Say these people and these people from these countries can't come here, despite the fact that like the 9/11 attacks happened from Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia wasn't one of those countries that was banned, right? You think about the fact that when you talk about terrorism, a lot of the terrorism that we're dealing with in America is white nationalists, homegrown terrorists, radicalized terrorists right here in the United States. We're not taking that, they're not even taking that kind of thing into consideration. You also think about some of the people that he surrounded himself with. You think about Steve Bannon, who was the head of Breitbart.com, who was said that Breitbart.com was the voice of the alt-right. Now, we know the voice of the alt-right is also Nick Spencer, Richard Spencer. And Richard Spencer has gone on to, like, he's one of the leaders of the alt-right, who speaks on white privilege as a good thing, who talks of African-Americans in a negative light, who talks about the eradication of affirmative action in a good way, you know, who's pretty much tried to give a modern face to old racist ideas, right? You think about the fact that Stephen Miller, Stephen Miller was one of the spokespeople for Donald Trump. Stephen Miller also helped craft that Muslim ban for Donald Trump, that executive order that he instituted. Like, Donald Trump has given us countless instances of where we can point to him being a racist. You think about the things that he did with Central Park 5, taking out full page ads in the New York Times to call for the execution of 5 young black and brown men in New York for murder, for a rape and that they were falsely accused of, that they were forced to confess to by the NYPD. To this day, he is yet to apologize for that. You think about the fact that Donald Trump has had numerous Department of Justice reprimands for not renting out properties to African-Americans in his properties in New York. Right? You think about Jeff Sessions being his pick for attorney general and trying to reinstate some of the drug era, the 1990s era drug enforcement tactics, where the three strikes tactics of increasing the mandatory minimums for drug possession, right? Excuse me. So, like, you have all of these instances of Donald Trump doing racist things, and it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone why someone would say that Donald Trump is a racist and a white supremacist, and he coddles white supremacists, and he surrounds himself with white supremacists. We have countless examples of him doing just a thing, right? Now, Jemele Hill was, you know, some of the backlash that she received was like, yo, man, well, she's a sports person. She's a sports anchor on SportsCenter, and I'm following her for sports. I don't want this political shit. Excuse me. Keep in mind that although Jemele Hill works for SportsCenter, Jemele Hill is also a human being. Jemele Hill also is an articulate human being. Jemele Hill is a thoughtful human being. Jemele Hill has has her own mind, as we all do. Jemele Hill is a high profile person. The fact that people tried to tie her statements to ESPN was laughable, considering the fact that, like, although she is a SportsCenter anchor, she wasn't speaking on behalf of SportsCenter. She wasn't speaking on behalf of ESPN. And anybody who tried to make that connection was being disingenuous. Because in that particular moment, how could you think that this was about sports? How could you think this was about ESPN? How could you think this was about anything else but how she really felt about the person who was occupying the White House right now? Right? So you got all this thing, you got this controversy about whether or not she should have said it, should she be fired, the hypocrisy of ESPN, and ESPN is now this liberal bastion of sports. Like, all of a sudden, like, even the sports has its political leanings, right? So you think about this, right? So, like, conservatives think everything is left leaning. Anything that isn't their shit is left leaning, right? So they got their bastions. So they got Fox News, and they got Breitbart, and they've got the Washington Times, and they've got numerous numbers of publications and television stations. Sinclair's communications have bought up a lot of television stations, WGN included, bought up a lot of television stations, right? Excuse me. So anything that is not their shit is considered left wing. So they start bringing up all these other instances of where they conservative leaning folks, I don't even know if Linda Cohn is conservative leaning, but they start bringing up all these instances of where some other people who worked at ESPN were either disciplined or let go at ESPN for some of the things that they said on social media or out in public, right? So one of the things that kept coming up was Curt Schilling. Curt Schilling was the former pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies and for the Boston Red Sox. He was a baseball analyst for ESPN for a few years. Curt Schilling had said quite a few things on social media prior to his being let go at ESPN. As a matter of fact, let me pull this up. Curt Schilling, a former all-star pitcher and one of the highest profile baseball analysts on ESPN, was fired from the network Wednesday, a day after he drew intense criticism for promoting offensive commentary on social media. Schilling, who had worked for the network since 2010 and most recently offered analysis on Monday Night Baseball, was dismissed after sharing a Facebook post this week that appeared to respond to the North Carolina law that bars transgender people from using bathrooms and locker rooms that do not correspond with their birth genders. The post showed an overweight man wearing a wig and women's clothing with the parts of the T-shirt cut out to expose his breast. It says, "Let him in to the restroom with your daughter, or else you're a narrow-minded, judgmental, unloving, racist bigot who needs to die." To that, Schilling added, "A man is a man no matter what they call themselves. I don't care what they are, who they sleep with. Men's room was designed for the penis. Women's not so much. Now you need laws telling us differently. Pathetic." Now, the funny thing about this, he was fired for this, right? But this wasn't the first time for Curt Schilling. Curt Schilling had been warned before about some of his social media postings before. So, like, ESPN is an inclusive company, ESPN said in a statement. Curt Schilling has been advised that his conduct was unacceptable and his employment with ESPN has been terminated. Schilling, through a spokeswoman, declined to comment. It was the latest in a number of commentaries by Schilling on social media that have drawn controversy. He was suspended for a month after he posted a comment on Twitter in August that compared radical Muslims to Nazis. Earlier Wednesday, Schilling appeared on the show WEEI Radio in Boston and defended himself against accusations of intolerance and racism. To be in a place where people actually believe I'm a racist and are transphobic says to me that someone has gone horribly askew somewhere, he told the host on WEEI, sounding weary and bewildered by his social media furor. Now think about this. He said he's comparing Muslims to Nazis, and he talks about transgender people being able to go to the bathroom for which they identify, and doesn't understand why people would consider him a transphobe, doesn't understand why people would call him an Islamophobe. It's a total fucking disconnect. The total disconnect that also came when folks were comparing him to Jemele Hill when he had been repeatedly doing this. This wasn't his first time. Now, one of the things that they say about Jemele Hill right now is like, yo, like this was her first incident where they had to speak with Jemele Hill about what she said in relation to Donald Trump. But at the same time, I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck did Jemele Hill say that was not true to a large swath of the community, to a large swath of the country, to people with common sense, to point out the racism, white supremacist program that Donald Trump has been operating under for years, that has been documented, that we know about, right? So you got that. Then Linda Cohn, you know, a lot of people were talking about Linda Cohn was suspended from ESPN because she said something, and she's a conservative, right? I don't even know if Linda Cohn is conservative, but Linda Cohn went on a radio station and she did an interview about the, she was actually speaking about ESPN. So it says, after ESPN SportsCenter anchor Jemele Hill tweeted that President Donald Trump is a white supremacist and was admonished by the network, many conservative critics wondered why she had not been punished more severely. Some pointed to Curt Schilling's firing from ESPN in 2016 after he shared several controversial right-leaning memes on social media as an example of the network's left-leaning tendencies. Others pointed to SportsCenter anchor Linda Cohn's comments about ESPN in April as proof that ESPN's alleged political hypocrisy. In April, Cohn appeared on WABC's radio, Bernie and Sid show, and she said she thought that ESPN had lost some of its base by becoming too political. You're right. That is a definite, that is definitely a percentage of it. I don't know how big a percentage, but if anyone wants to ignore that fact, they're blind. That's what I meant by about the core group that ESPN's made, that made ESPN so successful. I felt that the old school viewers were put in a corner and not appreciated with all these other changes. Now, interestingly enough, old school viewers, understand this. The world is changing, right? You either change with it or get cast aside a lot of times, especially if the views that you are holding are considered racist, homophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic. You're not going to be able to continue to denigrate and marginalize people and not be held accountable for it anymore. The world is changing. People are asserting themselves and their rights and demanding them forcefully. You can no longer hold these people under your boot. And so if you feel you're being alienated because of the ways in which you have looked at the world where all of these other people don't really fucking matter, then chances are you're going to be cast aside, right? So Linda Cohn, they say Linda Cohn was supposedly suspended. When she wasn't suspended, they just asked her to go home for a day. Is that a suspension? I don't know. It depends on, you know, suspension usually means like, yo, you going home without pay, and you probably are subject to termination. Linda Cohn wasn't terminated. She went home for a day. Jemele Hill wasn't terminated. She was spoken to. Now, the fact that they even, like, I feel like this, and maybe this is just me and being a black man in America or being a black person in America, like the attempt to silence black voices and calling out racism and calling out white supremacy is at a fevered pitch. A lot of the ways in which they're trying to silence dissent from white supremacy. You think about this. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary for Donald Trump, actually called what Jemele Hill did a fireable offense. Think about this. a government employee for the person occupying the White House at this moment calling for the firing of a public citizen because said public citizen called this dude out for what he has been for the better part of the last 40 to 50 years. We saw, a L'Oreal model, transgender model, being let go for calling out white supremacy on Facebook just recently. Calling out white supremacy. Like, they're silencing these voices. They're trying to silence these voices of dissent. It's just what the game is right now. By calling out white supremacy and calling out racism, you are therefore called the racist yourself. We are not all seeing what we're seeing. You are just imagining what you're seeing. You know, you can't believe what your lying eyes tell you. Everything you know about Donald Trump was, that's not really true. It's documented, but that's not true. Nah. It's ridiculous. It's one of the reasons why I continue to do this, you know, to do this show, man, to speak about these issues, to kind of like, I don't know, man, like just keep us up on shit, man. Like, I don't know, like, cause sometimes, you know, it can be disheartening, man, when folks aren't necessarily receptive to what you're telling them. Like, you know, like, hey man, like, yo, we can contribute to this bullshit too. And sometimes, you know, when we see these things, man, we're not necessarily as aware of them as we should probably be. But understand this, man, like these voices they're trying to silence these voices of dissent when it comes to white supremacy in this country, man. And I don't want to start sounding like, I said white supremacy like 30 times already this episode, man. I'm starting to sound like fucking Tariq Nasheed, man. And and that's what we don't want, right? So, yeah, man, Jemele Hill, I stand with Jemele Hill. I support Jemele Hill and what she said. I think what she said was apropos. I think what she said was appropriate. I think what she said was shit, fucking bullseye, right on the fucking money. Right on the money. So, yeah, that's going on, man. But we're coming up close to the end of the show. And before we do that, of course, we got to go to our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week this week, man, is none other than Clay Travis. Now, Clay Travis is one of those people. As a matter of fact, man, I think Clay Travis won ass hat of the week before I went on break. Like, wasn't he that dude that his kid had like head lice or some shit like that, and they got booted off the plane? They was mad they got booted off the plane because the kid had head lice. He couldn't understand why motherfuckers didn't want to be on the same plane with him and his kid with the head lice. So yeah, he's the ass hat of the week this week, right? And the reason why he's the ass hat of the week this week is because Clay Travis took his stupid ass on CNN. As a matter of fact, I thought I had this pulled up. Let me see. Where is this? Let me pull this video up. You got to hear this shit for yourself, man. All right, so check this. There was this interaction between Clay Travis. As a matter of fact, they were talking about Jemele Hill and the thing that, you know, the Twitter brouhaha that was going on with Jemele Hill. And Clay Travis comes on CNN to discuss this. And I'll just play this here.
And that had absolutely nothing to do with sports. And they said, look, you can't have this opinion. It's too conservative. We're not going to allow it. I think that's a bad move. I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I believe in only two things completely, the First Amendment and boobs. And so once they made the decision that they were
Hold on. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly as a woman anchoring the show. What did you just say? Believe in the First Amendment and BWBS?
Boobs. Two things that have only never let me down in this entire country's history, the First Amendment and boobs. So those are the only two things I believe in absolutely in the country. And so I don't think Jemele Hill should be fired, but I do think straight up that once you make the decision that you are going to let Kurt Schilling go, that you have to also make the decision that you're going to let Jemele Hill go. I think that's a bad decision. I think ESPN has made bad decisions that have led to 13 million subscribers bailing on the network. They've made bad decisions that have led to ratings collapsing. Jemele Hill's television show is collapsing. Ratings were down 20% last week over last year. I think that's why she's angry. I think that's why she went after Donald Trump. She's begging for ESPN to fire her so she can work somewhere else.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, two things of note here. One, isn't it amazing how they want this, like these dudes claim to be free speech absolutists, but then when the free speech doesn't necessarily jive with what they agree with, then they are like, oh my God, like this person needs to be dealt with, right? Jemele Hill needs to be fired. He says that Jemele Hill needs to be fired because Curt Schilling was fired. Well, no, Curt Schilling had been warned multiple times about the shit that he was doing, and he continued to do it. Curt Schilling was a habitual line stepper. That's why he was let go, right? But another thing, man. This motherfucker said he believes in the First Amendment and boobs in relation to a story about a woman and whether or not she should be fired for stating her opinion on the president or the person who's occupying the White House right now. First Amendment and boobs, right? Additionally, and I'll say this, Clay Travis is one of those people on Fox Sports 1 right now. Fox Sports 1 is kind of trying to position itself as the anti-ESPN. It's trying to position itself as the conservatives' voice for sports, right? And you think about a lot of the people who are on Fox Sports 1. Fox Sports 1, as much as he's talking about ESPN's ratings are collapsing, Fox Sports 1's ratings are a hell of a lot less than ESPN's. ESPN is still considered the worldwide leader in sports, so to speak, right? But Fox Sports 1 has a lot of ESPN castoffs. Jason Whitlock's coon ass being one of them. Skip Bayless being one of them. I feel sorry for Shannon Sharpe, man, because Shannon Sharpe is probably the sharpest person on that fucking network. Every day Shannon Sharpe is saying something profound on there. You think Colin Cowherd, you know, you think about, like, he just got into the way... Colin Cowherd was involved in a little brouhaha when he had LeVar Ball on his show earlier in the summer. And the way in which LeVar Ball treated his female co-host and the setup of that show and how they, like the whole thing. So Fox Sports 1 and Clay Travis are, for one, trying to make hay off of the fact that ESPN is in the middle of this firestorm with Jemele Hill. So it brings more attention to their fucking channel. Right? That's what this was. Hey, and people are talking about Clay Travis. I'm talking about Clay Travis's bitch ass right now here on my show. But because Clay Travis was as crass as he was on this particular issue, on this particular, like, on a supposedly serious news network, as he's talking about whether or not what Jemele Hill said was inappropriate, as he says, I'm for the First Amendment and boobs on a news program. Yeah, Clay Travis, you are the motherfucking ass out of the week this week here at the Spam Report.
Yo! We got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
All right, today's champ of the week this week here on the Span Report podcast is none other than Stone Chase, man. Stone Chaney, I'm sorry. Stone Chaney is a kid who was accosted by a teacher for refusing to stand for the national anthem during his first 2 weeks at middle school. His first 2 weeks at middle school, he's a sixth grader, and here he is. He's speaking on what happened to him while at school, so check this out.
Stone Chaney had just started his first week here at East Middle School, and now his family doesn't know if he'll be back. The sixth grader says he feels like his rights were violated when he didn't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
The teacher consultant comes up from behind me and snatches me out of my chair violently.
What did you think at that point?
I was so confused. I didn't know what was going on.
Stone Chaney says a homeroom teacher at East Middle School tried forcing him to stand during the Pledge of Allegiance.
I don't stand for the pledge because I don't pledge to a flag. I pledge to God and my family.
The alleged incident happened last Thursday. Cheney says the next day, another teacher yelled at him for sitting down during the pledge.
I don't feel safe going to that school anymore because I don't know what they're going to do to me next.
His father addressed the district directly during their last board meeting.
It's his choice to sit. I don't make him sit. It's his choice. And they should respect that.
Marine veteran Stephen Stevens sees things differently.
I would love to be able to talk to him and, you know, try to get their side and try to explain my side so maybe we could come to an understanding, because I understand that they have that right to do that, but I don't believe that they understand what that right really entails.
If they're fighting for freedom and fighting for us to have choices, then it's our choice.
All right. Now, interestingly enough, again, like I said, we're going to wrap all this racism shit in our patriotism, right? And a lot of these First Amendment absolutist motherfuckers don't necessarily believe in the First Amendment when they don't when the message is something that they don't find agreeable. They don't. Here you have a kid exercising his First Amendment rights by deciding that, like, yo, man, I don't want to participate in this anymore. I don't want to do this. I don't want to participate in the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't pledge to a flag. I pledge to God and my family. That's what this kid believes. And the First Amendment affords him that right, affords him that freedom of choice to not stand in for the Pledge of Allegiance, to have a teacher come up to you and snatch you out of a chair to make you pledge to allegiance, or have another teacher come to the classroom and scold you for not pledging allegiance to this flag. Like, again, not having to understand the viewpoint of other people and not really get why they aren't as in love with this country as you may be. And and a lot of it too is the fact that, like, yo, like, there was a gentleman, it was an older gentleman, he was a veteran and whatnot. Like, a lot of this is like, yo, they keep trying to pit veterans, like, this is about the vets and all this other shit. Like, no, this isn't about the vets. A lot of this, like, this kid probably wasn't even thinking about the vets at that particular point in time. He's thinking about how he feels about this country and how this country responds to him. Right? I saw, like, all sort, like, you know, of course, on social media and everything else, man, all these people talking about how disrespectful this is, how he's not standing for the flag, how he's not, these people not standing for our national anthem, they should get the fuck out of the country and all this other shit. Like, yo, man, like, y'all do understand that we got as much right to be here as your punk ass do. And we contribute to this society just as much as your punk ass do, sometimes more so. Sometimes what our contributions are stripped and raped away from us. But to see this young man be able to articulate exactly why he did what he did and to tell exactly what happened to him and why what happened to him was wrong, yo, man, kudos all day long to him. And he is the champ of the week this week here at the Spirit Report Podcast, man. Real talk. Shout out to Stone Chaney. Real talk. It is time for me to get out of here. I've been talking for a little while and I'm tired and I'm hungry. So I got to go. But before I go, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit that hotline up at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. And, of course, I'll play them here on the show, respond to you right here on the show. You can also email me at feedback@thespiritreport.com. That's feedback@thespiritreport.com, man. Send those emails and I'll read those and, of course, respond to those here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. Join the fan page. I'm not the fan page. Join the Facebook group, the Span Report Facebook group on Facebook. Yeah, of course. Join that and find yourself immersed with some of the other Facebook, some of the people who listen to the show, man, who fuck with us here at the Span Report Podcast, man. So go ahead and join the Facebook fan fan group. I could tell I'm tired, man. My mouth is getting all tongue-tied and shit. And for all your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. All the podcasts are available there. All of the videos to the podcast are available there. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. Everything, man. Donate to the show if you like. You pretty soon, you buy t-shirts of the show at the Teespring store. Man, all of that stuff is coming to thespanreport.com, man. So go there for your one-stop shop for all your Span Report needs. And, yeah, it's time for me to get out of here, y'all. I'm tired. And it was good to be back on the mic, man. I gotta shake these bugs off, shake this dust off of me. But we're going to get back into the saddle, and we're going to be all good. But I got to go, y'all. So till next time, fam.